It's the Agribusiness Report and highlights today from House Ag Committee listening session at World Ag Expo. It's in the district of David Valadao. He talks about House Ag and appropriations working together.
Well, the authorizers in the Ag Committee write the language. Us on the appropriations side, I sit on the Ag Appropriations. We fund the programs. So, yes, they go hand in hand.
We are definitely all part of the American Agriculture Farm Team. I really like the fact how these last 2 years we've the Agriculture Committee members and the Agriculture Appropriators how we work together. We made some really good when it came to broadband. We sorted some things out, did great work, and I look forward to building that teamwork across the Ag Committee and the Ag Appropriators in the next 2 years.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by the Honorable Doug LaMalfa from the northern portions of California. Great to see you.
Good to be down with you out here, to Larry. First time to the Big Farm Show. I go to the one in Colusa sometimes, but this will be quite a treat. Plus having all our colleagues out here, including our chairman and our speaker. Pretty cool.
As we tee up that farm bill, how important is it to have leadership that understands or at least appreciates ag?
Well, we don't have to explain to Speaker McCarthy about ag and its importance and the water supply and energy and all those things that come from the state that make our economy go and keep food on the table for people. So we already have a head start. And our new chairman, G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania, he gets it. He's done a lot of great work. He's done a lot of great work on a lot of aspects of the farm bill. So we're kind of off to a good start, even though we're behind from not enough work getting done on farm bill in the previous few years. So that said, we got really good input from real people here today that helped us to focus our thoughts a little bit. And it really boils down to a lot of the conversation today was on trade and the importance of expanding markets and keeping the water flowing, as I've been just passionate about, even talking to the president the last two State of the Unions about that. We got to get water supply here. It can't all just go out to the ocean for a dubious environmental purpose that doesn't actually fill any goals. So,
and forestry will be right in your wheelhouse as we go into this farm bill. Can we make improvements?
Yes, I've been honored to receive the chairmanship of the Subcommittee on Forestry of the Ag Committee. The Ag Committee has jurisdiction over, obviously, the USDA. The U.S. Forest Service is in the USDA, so that's the connection. So I think what's really, really important is to get U.S. Forest Service cracking on taking care of its lands. It has nearly 200 million acres of forest lands in this country, and they're not moving fast enough on, I call it, the pace and scale of treating, meaning thinning, meaning putting the forest to a sustainable amount of trees per acre that it can withstand a little bit of drought, have the water supply. The trees need to be strong and healthy instead of weak and insect-prone, and that kills the trees. And then, boom, you have hundreds of thousands of acres of extremely fire-prone forestry. In 2021, when there's a million-acre fire in my district, million-acre fire, the Dixie Fire, the firefighters were telling us they had not seen dry index conditions like they had, which just made it explosive. They'd never seen anything like it. The fire, any bit of wind and a little bit of hot day, it would just explode across the landscape. And so that means we have a lot of work to do. We need to, the federal government needs to step up and do its job and pay what it takes to do the forestry treatments that need to be done. And we need to take all this material and turn it into a byproduct that's useful. Whether we chip it and send it overseas where the people in the Pacific Rim use it for their energy, turn it into a use, especially these dead trees that are standing there. Chip this stuff, move it out. Make saw logs where we need saw logs, whatever it takes, and make biomass usable in this country to make energy as well. We have obviously a grid that is on the edge at all times here in California, and they want to take out some of the hydroelectric dams in my district, which is foolish because that's everybody's worried about CO2 free. Well, those don't make any CO2. They got a 5-year reprieve on Diablo Canyon, which is CO2 free out of that nuclear plant. So we got to put our heads together and actually start focusing on what's important and what works for our economy and for our people. And that includes taking this biomass material and making it a plus instead of a negative when it just goes up in smoke every year.
So good to see you. Thanks for your time. Wish you the best.
Thanks a lot. It's going to be fun.
Talking with the Honorable G.T. Thompson, Chairman, House Ag Committee. Great to see you.
Tony, it's great to see you. Thank you for being here for this, what really was our first official listening session after the committee organized. We got our feet wet up in Pennsylvania in January. Just thrilled to be here in California at the World Agriculture Expo, where we, I think, had a really, really successful listening session.
So, yeah, obviously a different type of ag in California, wide variety here. What was a common theme you heard?
Well, there was a lot. The importance of trade obviously stood out. You know, the value of the market access program, the foreign market development program, you know, makes a lot of sense when you look at these specialty crops here in California, how much of that high percentage that is exported around the world. And that's great for our economy here and quite frankly, for the a healthy U.S. agriculture. But, you know, other water, obviously, California, what you know, the unfortunate state of California has just not really kept up, been forward-thinking on water retention. There are plenty of water, right, whether it's at flood time or usually snow melt. But you got to retain it, right? And you got to retain it where you need it. And that would be in an area to be able to feed a nation, to feed the, you know, feed California. So that was that's a recurring issue, no doubt about it.
You kind of touched on exports there, and there's two sides of that. You got a trade side,
yeah,
and then you have the infrastructure side.
Right.
Will that be on the radar for Congress's session?
Well, I hope so. It won't be infrastructure in terms of canals, ports, which needs to be addressed. We need to modernize in a serious way. I mean, we have ports of entry and ports of export that cannot accommodate these larger shipping vessels that we now have. And so for whatever reason, the United States has not kept up in those investments, and we need to do that. We need to be able to move our agriculture commodities efficiently. We need to make this a place where these companies that operate these vessels want to come to, right? Also, we need to look at some policies. Like, there's an awful lot of shipping containers that are going back empty, specifically to China, and that's wrong. I mean, we're buying products, and they need to be fulfilling their trade promises and buying our commodities.
So good to see you. Wish you the best.
Tony, thank you so much.
With the Honorable Representative Panetta from California, great to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you, too. Always good to be out in the Central Valley, coming from the Central Coast in the 19th Congressional District. It's nice to come out here, and obviously we may have some different agriculture, but like I said, we find our similarities when it comes to the issues, and hopefully that's what you saw today, us basically, you know, being up there, Democrats and Republicans, actually listening to the issues that affect all our districts and affect all of agriculture. So look forward to be able to take that information back to Washington, D.C., and work on the Farm Bill coming up here and making sure that we can come together for people that mean so much, not just to our districts, but for our nation's agriculture.
Your district, I believe, is it the Salad Bowl? Is that what we call it?
Yeah. Well, look, in the 20th Congressional District, I had the Salad Bowl, but this Independent Redistricting Commission kind of carved that out. But what I lose in lettuce, I gain in wine. So not a bad trade-off, but obviously it's about specialty crops. It's about the research that's necessary to fight the disease, the pests, and also continue to work on basically mechanization in regards to what type of replacements can we have. Not replacing labor, replacing the lack of labor, as we know, and hopefully finding a way to have a reasonable, sensible immigration reform like the Farm Workforce Modernization Act that protects our ag workers, people who are willing to come here, do the work that no American's willing to do, and continue to contribute not just to our economy, not just to our communities, but to our culture and what we stand for as a country, especially when it comes to our agriculture. So obviously, you know, good to be here. A lot of information I think we gleaned today. But as I say, as a former prosecutor, this is evidence upon which we can make our argument for a strong agricultural nation.
With the Honorable Representative John Rose from Tennessee, great to see you.
Good to be here. Yes, I've enjoyed being at the World Ag Expo.
So coming from, let's say, Tennessee and looking at what you've seen around this area as far as ag,
quite a bit different than back home, isn't it?
It is. Of course, we have diverse agriculture in Tennessee, but the Central Valley, I think, presents an amazing array of products and diversity in terms of the ag production in this valley.
One of the key themes seems to be at this listening session the importance of needing just stability and just knowing what the rules of the game are, which way the road's going. Is that something you're watching as we move forward?
It is. I think, farmers face enough uncertainty with the weather, the marketplace, the challenges that they get in those arenas. We need to try to provide as much stability from the policy side as we can. They don't need surprises from Washington or from state capitals, so we need to work to give them a level playing field and a runway that they can work through and produce the food that the American people and the world needs.
So good to see you here. Enjoy the rest of your time in the Central Valley.
Good to be here, and looking forward to seeing some more of the displays today.
On the Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Are you looking for a new opportunity? The King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management's Ranch Manager Job Board is open. With jobs posted from Texas, Idaho, New Mexico, Nebraska, Colorado, New York, Montana, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Oregon, Florida, even Mexico. Or are you looking for someone to manage a ranch? Find out more at the King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management online, KRIRM.com. It's the Agribusiness Report. Dr. Darrell Peel is Oklahoma State livestock economist.
The potential for a recession is there. That's obviously one of the things that we have been watching, continue to watch. The Federal Reserve's trying to cool the economy down. That's a tricky proposition to avoid doing too much, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of those are things that we continue to watch. If we have to watch, you need to watch them. I will certainly be watching them. First and foremost, from a demand standpoint, again, we're, the consumers and all of that, demand is defined as willingness and ability to buy stuff at a certain amount at a certain price. Okay. If you don't have any money, you have no ability, even if you have the willingness. So, obviously we have to watch those things. The other part of it, of course, as you mentioned, is interest rates. That's one more change in cost of production that you guys face. So that's part of the picture as well. What's going to happen? I don't know. I mean, I can't figure out cattle markets, let alone the big economy. I have my thoughts on it, but they're just my thoughts by and large. And so I think the point is you have to keep watching those things. However, I will say this, that when you look at the cattle market fundamentals internally, basically this supply situation that we find ourselves in, it's going to be pretty resilient to an awful lot of stuff. So we may see tops that are not as high as they would have been without all those things, but they're still going to go up.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
At Plains Cotton Cooperative Association, our mission is to ensure the long-term profitability of our grower owners through value-added marketing programs and through services to their gins. As a true cooperative, we pay dividends back to our grower owners to financially strengthen their farming operations, whether in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, or New Mexico. Rest assured, at PCCA, we make money for you, not from you.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report with members of Congress, Doug LaMalfa, G.T. Thompson, John Rose and Jimmy Panetta.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
It's been said defense wins championships, but in farming, playing defense doesn't pencil out. When growing cotton, you'll score big when you cut your input cost on seed and have the flexibility to apply multiple modes of action. Growing conventional cotton puts you on the offense because at the end of the season, you'll catch and delete your cotton, which helps save 50% or more on your seed costs next year. Find out why more farmers are going conventional and winning big. Call Brownfield Seed or go online, brownfieldseed.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
We finally have the complete ag trade numbers for December.
This was a record December for exports.
$17 billion worth of sales, and USDA economist and trade tracker Bart Kenner says that put calendar year 22 export sales at a record high, $196 billion, beating 2021's record by $20 billion. But Bart told us,
most of the gains in exports came from unit value increases, from higher prices, as a lot of the volume exports that are tracked were actually declining.
But let's keep things happy and talk dollars. So in 2022, wheat sales up 17% from the year before, soybeans 26, but getting the prize for most improved export performance?
Cotton exports were $9.2 billion. Up 57% over last year.
Double award for cotton, one of the few products with higher shipment volumes, up 16%. Gary Crawford, Washington.